It's good to be back, and first of all, like for everyone who went on the trip, up here, actually, all these are graduates of our pharmacy, so they're all able to work in a pharmacy anywhere but the U.S. Okay. If you went on the trip and you're here today, please stand up. Okay, great. And now, if you were a prayer partner, or if you spent any time praying or helping to support this team in any way, please stand up. That's awesome. Thank you. As you can see, the team is not just the 12 of us who went, but the team is much larger. I want to read just a small portion of scripture out of 1 Corinthians 12 before Jamie speaks. I grab the privilege of having Jamie and then Jim Wickower and then Sheila speak this morning. They're going to share some significance of the trip in their heart. But our team, as you can see, is much larger than just 12 of us. Plus, we have many more than 12 at the other end who are part of our team as well in Honduras. As you can see, the body is much bigger. From 1 Corinthians 12, "For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though there are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we're all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, 'Because I am not a hand, I'm not part of the body,' it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, 'Because I'm not an eye, I'm not a part of the body,' it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were part of an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired." And so all of us have different roles to play. Some of us go, some of us pray, some of us give, some of us serve. We just need to be aware of the calling that God has given us. But God might change that calling from year to year, from time to time, of where he wants us to be in the body. So thank you for participating. Thank you for sending us. Thank you for praying for us. A lot of things happened down there, and you'll hear from these testimonies what God was doing in different hearts. So thank you for sending us. So at this time, I'm going to have Jamie come up and share what God has done in her life through this trip. And after that, Jim will come up, and then Sheila.
Y'all know you're real scary from up here. Okay, so why did I want to go? It's been, my whole life seems like was in preparation for this trip, maybe many more trips, we'll see. But if you look in Psalm 96, verse 3, it says, "Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all peoples." And that really is the call of each of us. That is God's plan, that's been his plan from the beginning, to call all the nations to himself. And then if you look in James chapter 2, sorry about that, verses 14 through 17, he says, "What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to him, 'Go in peace, be warmed and be filled,' and you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead." And I believe that extends to medicine, food, medicine, their daily need. And these people that we served in Honduras were in need. But back to why go, why should any of you consider going, why did I consider going? I had heard this call to go my whole life. We were raised in a Southern Baptist church where missions was sort of the expectation of every believer. Lottie Moon was huge, Sunbeams, Girls Auxiliary, and they all centered around the theme of missions. And so in the last year or so of my life, since I've retired from teaching, I've been praying, Lord, show me what you want me to do now. Use me, Lord. Open my eyes to how you would have me use the remaining years of my life. Because let's face it, I'm not getting any younger. So if I don't do it now, when am I going to do it? If I don't go now, when am I going to wait till I'm 70 and try to go? So one night during my prayer time, the Lord said to me, go on the mission trip with the church to Honduras and go with Joe. Get up, go ask him now if he'll go with you. Well, you could have knocked me over with a feather when Joe said he would go. We were both nervous and really excited about going. Joe was concerned about the cost. I was worried about flying and the food. And we were both super worried about sleeping. How would we get enough sleep to function? The Lord supplied our financial need, not just for us, but for the whole team. He blessed our group by also supplying a surplus, which meant he met the needs of some of our Honduran brothers and sisters while we were there, which was really a blessing to be able to do that. So the night before we flew to Honduras, we met at a hotel near Dulles. Our flight left around 6 a.m., which meant we had to get up and be on a shuttle at 4:30 in the morning. That meant I had to get up about 3:30. I was anxious, laying in bed. It was already after midnight, and I'm still wide-eyed. Joe's asleep, but I'm awake. And I am so worried about how am I going to be able to function? How am I going to get up so early and be on? Not to mention, how am I going to be a cheerful missionary if I'm that tired? So I slipped out of bed and got on my knees. Lord, how am I going to make it through this morning, let alone the whole week? How will I survive the things they told us about at dinner, like the cold showers, the different food? Jim Walker had already told me about chicken feed soup. I was really nervous about how I was going to eat. What about those smelly bathrooms, the baños? And I need to go to sleep right now, right now. But God is so good. He met me on the floor of the Holiday Inn. Shh, shh, be calm. It's okay. You don't have to conquer this whole week right now. You don't even have to try to sort out the morning and how you're going to function on so little sleep. Don't you know that I hold your days and your minutes? You can rest in me. Each second, every minute, I will give you enough for that minute. You can always get through the minute you're in. Trust me for enough strength, enough rest, enough patience, just to get through the minute you are in. Don't be overwhelmed by thinking about the whole week. Rest in me for strength and patience and for love for each person. Now, did I sleep like a baby that week? Nope. Did I love every food that was put in front of me? Nope. But we didn't have chicken feet stew. But I didn't have any more anxiety. If I didn't sleep well, I tossed and turned, but the worry was gone. And just as Paul said in his letters to the Philippians, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. God supplied my every need. And then one short story to tell you what that meant to my Father in heaven. While we were at our third clinic, Gary so kindly gave me some gummy bears. He is the gummy bear king and gave me a package. The first one in my mouth took the crown off my tooth. It's like, what is this hard thing in my mouth? These are gummy bears. Well, I had just been talking to a young man, Diego, whose dad just happened to be an orthodontist, who had just left the building. He called him quickly on his phone. His dad came back and said, I can fix that too. He fit me into his schedule right after lunch. Another Honduran dropped everything he had planned and drove me across town to meet this dentist, came back to pick me up. He fixed my tooth, no charge. Our God supplies every need. So if you hear God calling you to go, don't listen to all the reasons you have for not going or for doing it later like I did. Because I was busy raising babies, I was busy doing this, busy doing that, and I can't go right now, Lord. If you hear that call, I would encourage you just to step out in faith. Answer that call in obedience. Trust your Father who loves you. He will bless you with everything you need to be obedient to his call. Trust him. He will supply the funds. He will supply the prayer support, the safety, and all the strength you need for a great adventure with him. You're on.
Can you all hear me?
Yeah, but they can't record you.
What?
They can't record you.
If I talk like this, can they record me? Okay. So I want my hands free.
I know, but maybe that's where you should have the microphone.
I hope that the end of my story will speak to why it's a great thing to go to Honduras. I'm going to start off with telling you that my focus is a singular event. And I want to say it was the third meeting that we had. And at that meeting, I was spent. I do the intake. And I went all day with no break. That was me. I wasn't worked and told to stay there. That was me. I chose not to take a break. When we went to the meeting, I didn't have a chance to change my clothes. And so I went there. My toe hurt. I had pulled off a nail on my big toe before I left. I was well taken care of, like a king. It was great. My back hurt because I was wearing shoes and I couldn't walk properly. And so we went to this meeting, and my body was really hurting me. By the way, I am 73 years old, and you can go at any time in your life. In the meeting, the music was great. The words were very simple. There was a great beat. It was very moving. It was very stirring. You could sing to it. Rich spoke on Luke. It was about the tempest, how the Lord spoke to the wind and the sea, and and it stopped. And he talked about the tempest in our lives. And he used the example of his son who was addicted to drugs. It was really powerful. And so after Rich spoke, they asked for people to come up and if they wanted to be prayed for. So I think all of us were sitting down and people were coming up, and Dr. Anna, who was a Honduran doctor there, tapped me on the shoulder and said in Spanish, go and pray for them. And so I was tired, and I wasn't in a mood to pray for anybody. But I went up, and I went up to this one lady, and kind of my thing is I put my hands on people's head. That just feels really normal to me. I put my hand on this lady's head, and I started to pray for her in Spanish. I felt the unction to pray. And praying in Spanish is not the same thing as speaking, just conversational Spanish. I prayed very simply. I prayed for what I felt the Lord directed me to pray. And I noticed two people are moving in back of her. I'm praying for her, and then all of a sudden, she goes down. And I'm thinking, uh-oh. I believe in the gifts. We're a charismatic church, by the way, just in case any of you have forgotten. And I think, what is going on? I really don't know. I'm looking at this lady. She's staying down. So I go, okay, Lord. I step over her body. I go to the next person. And I think, okay, well, I'll pray in Spanish and in English, and we'll see if this is the same. And I'm doing that, and all of a sudden, she breaks out in uncontrollable sobbing. And so I get through praying, and I think, well, I really don't know, ladies, I'm sorry, or guys, if you are uncontrollably sobbing, I'm not sure what to do. It's a flaw I have. I put my arms around her. She grabs me, and eventually she stops. I stop. I go to the next person, and now I've got God figured out. I'm going to pray in English, and this is not going to happen. So I pray in English, and these were older women, and this person I'd seen in intake. And so I'm praying for her in English. In about 15 seconds, she is... her body is shaking, and she is sobbing uncontrollably. So I put my arms around her, and she puts her arms around me, and this is the Lord. It's not Jim. It's the Lord. And I'm out of kind of my, it's not safety zone. I don't know what it is, but I'm unfamiliar with all of this. So that's over. I go to my seat, and I'm trying to process all of this because I believe in the gifts. I truly believe in the gifts. I have no problem with them. When they're done naturally and normally and in the spirit, I don't have a problem. When some guy goes and starts ranting and raving, what I want is a big hole to open up where he's standing and he should drop into the pit of whatever. But this was happening, and I was doing it. I wasn't receiving it. I was doing it. I've never done that before. It was a strange position. So we're sitting down, and then all of a sudden, the wife of this pastor, she starts prophesying over us. And as she's prophesying, it is normal. It is conversational. It is fluid. It is... she is looking us in the eye. She looked me in the eye. I don't know what, I think everybody else too. And the first thing she says to me, she says, you've come here alone, which I did. She says, you've had many failures in your life, but you always bounce back. And I'm going, wow. She said, you will not make money with your hands, but you will serve and care for many people. And I'm stunned. I'm stunned in my person. She reaches around and she touches my back. And this is being translated. Someone and there's a lot of noise in the room. I wear hearing aids. I didn't hear everything. There's a lot of din in the room. So then she goes on to the next person. I sit down. A couple minutes later, I got up for I forget what reason.
and I have no pain in my back. My back is healed. Is it healed forever? No, it's healed for a day and a half. But when God heals you, our mind is that I'm healed forever. But I experienced God's healing, and it didn't matter to me how long it was. I experienced the healing of God. Hallelujah. That was wonderful. So that's kind of my story. Except for one thing, and I guess this is the point I want to make, or a point I want to make. Throughout the week, whatever I did, whatever seemed good, because we're on a mission, a medical mission, we're helping people, whatever seemed good in the eyes of man, my healing, the prophecy, having God use me to minister to other people was not a reward. That's really, I want to impart that to you. It wasn't a reward. I didn't get something for doing things good. Okay? What it was I got to experience the love of the Lord inviting me into visiting the depths, more depths that he had for me. And that's how God, as best I know in my life, invites me to do things. I am not rewarded for the things that I do. I am invited into a relationship with him, which is reward enough in itself. Thank you.
So that's hard to follow. So when Gary had talked to me about sharing a portion of my testimony about the experience I had, I've been to Honduras many times now. And so I was praying about it. I'm like, okay, what am I going to talk about? You know, I've shared my testimony with the church. I kind of know the impact short-term missions have had on my life direction. I could talk about the number of patients we saw. Hey, that's a good thing, right? We saw lots and lots of people. We gave out lots and lots of medicines. You know, I could talk about an interesting case, and that might bore some people or disgust some people. You never know. And then I realized, as I was praying through it, the most important part about missions, be it medical missions or any other missions, is the relationships that get built. And that's the main primary reason I do short-term missions. You know, I am a nurse practitioner. The medical part of it appeals to me, but it's the relationships that I'm building, not only with the patients that I'm seeing, but the church that we're interacting with and my other team members. You know, I spend a lot of time preparing for these trips. There's many hours that are spent organizing. You have to purchase the medicines and supplies. I do research into, okay, what's going on in Honduras right now medically? You know, I try to learn a little bit more about tropical illnesses because that's not something we see here. Even though that seems all important, it helps us get down there, it's really the time that I spend with the individual people. So I'm kind of naturally an introvert, okay? So I apologize in advance, but I'm not the person that if a new person comes to church, I don't go hugging and running over to them because I don't know how to make small talk, and I never have. And so there are many times that I feel a little disconnected in a big setting like this. You know, I get overwhelmed in crowded conditions. So, like, Christmas shopping, I'm so glad there's Amazon because I don't do the whole Christmas shopping thing.
you know, small group is very important to me. And my small group can even tell you, it took a while before I would share things, just because I keep things to myself. Going on these mission trips forces me to interact in my church. It forces me to connect with others. And during these trips, you go and, you know, you have your preparation ahead of time, but you really don't start to make those connections till you go down there and you live in community with people that you might have seen for years. This year, I've played music with Joe for years on the worship team. I didn't know Joe until we climbed a mountain together. Okay. And both almost died going up it. But so I wouldn't have had that experience without going on the mission trip. It allows us to build relationships with other cultures, okay? I don't speak Spanish. I can exhaust my Spanish knowledge in, like, one sentence. I still mispronounce how to say my name is. But I feel that it's important to interact with people from other cultures. My capstone project for my doctorate is on cultural competency, and I'm researching cultural competency. You can read all this stuff, and there's all these intricate theories and transitions that you make to become culturally competent. But the bottom line is, Jesus is that bridge to other cultures. Over the years, I've established relationships with people in the Harrison community. So I go down there, and it's not, I'm visiting my friends. I'm visiting my family. I know about them now. I know about their families. I know about new developments in their life. Thank goodness Facebook is around, because you can stay in contact. And so it's like going home, because that's your family too. And that happened because initially we had this common bond of Christ. They want to do outreach. We want to do outreach. But now we go down and we work as a team. It doesn't matter that I don't speak their language or they don't speak my language. It doesn't matter that our cultures are different. It doesn't matter that our medical practices are different. We're a team and we share that commonality so we can bridge that cultural gap. You also build relationships with the people you see. So, you know, you're in this clinic and all these hundreds of people are coming into this clinic. And as a healthcare provider, you know, I do get to spend some time interacting with them. And, you know, you build a trust between that person because they're coming to you at a vulnerable time. Something's wrong. They're sick. They need medicines. There's a problem. So this year, I got the opportunity to take a nurse practitioner student with me. And Kate, I had never met Kate. I had been contacted by Old Dominion University. I'd never met her until our first training meeting, and she just fit in perfectly. But as a student, when she was seeing her patients, she was a little slower. She's still learning. And she took her time to listen and ask questions and really relate to her patients that she was seeing, which was more important than any drug she prescribed or any treatment that was performed. At one of the services that night at the church where we had done clinic during the day, I saw people coming over to her just to interact with her, to hug her, to talk to her, to introduce their families to her. And it just hit me that she had established relationships, and that was more important than anything else we had done. Jesus desires us to have relationships, both with him and with other people. And so I encourage each of you guys, if anybody is considering, should I go on a mission trip? I don't know. It's going to be hot. It's going to be uncomfortable. All those things that Jamie talked about, and yes, they are, okay? But get out of your comfort zone. Go experience the culture shock. You'll make a lifelong impact with the relationships you make. both within the church. You'll get closer to people in the church. You'll be closer to the church we work with down there, and you'll be closer to people from other cultures that you might not have been around before. It's funny, one of the verses that had come to me is Galatians 3:28, and it kind of tacks onto what Gary had opened with. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And so I would just encourage you to remember that.
I'm going to wrap this up in about 3 minutes. That's Sheila and Kate up in that picture there. You can figure out which is which. But you can look at Kate, how intently she's looking. She always looked like she was looking through people. She was so much into them every time, whether it's a little kid or an adult. And by the way, the banyos did not stink. Not one of them did. The temperatures were in the mid-80s at the highest. They were in the mid-60s at night, so it wasn't hot there. It was better than it was here. So don't let any of those things scare you away. And all of us had plenty to eat. None of us came back dead, so we all came back alive. And just real quickly, Sheila talked about people. So just real quickly, Raj, if you could go, there's a little boy. He's 5 years old. His name is Jeffet. I went up and just sat with him, took selfies with him a little bit. Later, I found out that he's 5 years old, and his mother is no longer with us. She got involved with a gang, and she's a couple years ago actually committed suicide. He's living with his grandmother 2 hours away from where they grew up. But he's happy now. He's being taken care of. But he actually refused gummy bears the first time I gave them to him. Then he went, asked for permission, came back, and we hung out for a little while, took a bunch of selfies. Pray for Jeffet, growing up with his grandma in a town 2 hours away from where he originally started growing up. There's three sisters. Sheila is 17, Alejandra is 15, and Nadia is 10. And you can put that picture up real quick, Roger, if you can find it. Pray for Sheila. She's 17. She's one on, the left, and she's pregnant. You can imagine the dynamics in that family. Sheila, Alejandra, and Nadia. Pray for them. You can imagine just what's going on in their family, just like families here. No different, right? The next picture, just real quickly, Wendy. And Beatrice. Greg, you like to see a picture of Beatrice, right? So Beatrice, her husband, Carlos, passed away. It's been about 3-4 years ago now, Greg? 2 years ago, it's only. Beatrice and Carlos pastored a church there. Her husband died 2 years ago, and she's continued to sort of pastor that church there. She's also a doctor. And Wendy, she hung out at the very end of our last clinic. We had already run out of all of our major meds, all of our basics, no vitamins, no nothing left. Probably the last 20 people we saw, we didn't have much of anything to prescribe to them. And she hung out, and so Jim and I went ahead and just took her temperature, took her blood pressure, just to, at least to give her some attention, right, because she was there wanting something. What she really wanted were glasses. So we're able to leave money there with Beatrice. So Beatrice is going to take her to get her glasses, get her eye exam, get her glasses. But the other neat thing about that is she doesn't go to any church. So Beatrice will be able to connect with her family. And so that makes a connection in the neighborhood. So it's not, again, it's not just about the meds. It's about the relationship that Sheila talked about. Her name is Wendy. So be praying for Wendy and her family. Those are the things we go there for. We could give you a lot of other stats when we do that. But maybe we'll put up in the online or something about what we're able to do with the finances. We left almost $3,900 down there to help out with these type of needs and other needs. So, but thank you for letting us go, for sending us, for praying for us. None of this would have been possible without God, who is faithful, and our faithful brothers and sisters who have supported us. Thank you.